bringing us into a discussion of another security chat with Frank Labidi from IPSS Medical, IPSS Security. And your headphones okay? You got it all working? There we go. Technology works when it works. Good to have you back in the studio. We caused a bit of a stir last week talking about all sorts of things, and people are fascinated with the subject of security, particularly at the moment. It seems that there is, we've got lots in generally our scope of operation that we deal with on a regular basis, but I think among the most critical issues that any individual, family, or business faces is security in the 21st century. It is not just the obvious physical security, but there is cybercrime taking place at an alarming rate. All sorts of ways to lose your boots if you're not if you don't have your wits about you. But it's good to know that in a society like ours, there are private security companies that have very, very firm grip on the situation. And when we have an opportunity to chat to the professionals, well, that's a bonus. And today we get involved in another conversation with IPSS Security and Frank Labidi. Welcome to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me once again after our little 2 weeks to discussion about security and our little hiccup.
Well, it was interesting to see there were a number of interested people heard that you started calling a spade in the sense that, you know, you tell it like it is, and I think that's always been your go-to. You're not a man to mince your words.
No, I don't.
You shoot from the hip, as they say, and that's probably why you run a very tight ship.
I do, and as I say, if you put on that shoe and it fits you, then like that's your problem, not my problem.
We go. What's on your mind today?
Whatever you want to ask me.
Okay. I'll tell you what I want to ask you. And it's probably a little bit broader than the local security scene, but it will ultimately, I think, affect everyone. With the recent suggestion, shall we say, in various quarters, that South Africa is ripe for a potential coup d'etat. One must be very careful with the words one uses here. But it would seem that certain analysts are saying that coup d'etats generally are not the momentous event that starts with roadblocks and all sorts of gunfire, etc. They tend to start rather slowly, and they tend to start by voices of dissent being raised against the zeitgeist of the political context in which we find ourselves by senior military and people in authority. And one has heard this with the recent visit to Iran by someone who will remain unnamed because I can't remember. Mpwanyana was his name, the general. There was before that at the funeral of a soldier killed in the situation in the Congo, the Surgeon General came out with a very alarming berating of the South African Defence Force capability, calling it a Mickey Mouse army that the politicians have created. And there have been all sorts of rumblings in that direction. What is your take on the situation?
Again, I got actually caught off guard again by this question, but it's heard. I think, coming from a military background, I really think a coup starts if you look at your economy. High unemployment rate, definitely high unemployment rate. Corruption for years and years on end. And that's when a potential coup could start. And as an example, I give you, let me not think, I'll give you a few examples. Suriname, ex-Dutch Guiana, was under, apparently it was under a democratic sort of government, but in real terms it was under the hands of, then we're talking about late 80s, General Boutazé, who was virtually the dictator of Suriname. Then we had the Comores. Comores had, I don't know how many coups, but Comores had about, if I'm not mistaken, 5, 6, 7 coups. Comores doesn't exist anymore. It was a huge holiday destination for South Africans. I think in the 80s, 90s, I've been there twice. You know, the Comores, interestingly, have been taken over, I think, in the 70s or 80s by a French Legionnaire with, I think, only five members, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken, but wow. I think it was just five or six members. And yeah, so a coup starts when people are unhappy, unemployment rate is high, and the government has abused its powers.
In your opinion, is South Africa, does South Africa tick those boxes?
Well, unemployment rate is 33.something%. I think it's higher than that. I think the figures are not correct. Government, I can't generalize if I say government. I mean, we have seen it with presidents we had. In general, I would say the government is corrupt, very corrupt. It's just backhanding one way or the other. Yeah. We have the potential of going for, heading that way.
You have extremely close ties and very tight working relationship with the South African police service, particularly locally.
Yeah.
And presumably you would find, and I'm talking about private security in this instance, if there was to be a situation of insurrection, it would be extremely interesting to know how it would affect the ordinary citizenry, and would private security then be in a position to protect the ordinary citizenry against a potential military coup d'etat in this country? It's just a hypothetical question. I'm not suggesting it's going to happen, but it's interesting to discuss the hypothesis.
Okay, like, if you think about it, we have, if you're a police officer worldwide, you have been wanting to protect the country and to protect the president, whatever it is.
Yeah.
All right. So a coup is illegal. Even if it might benefit the country, still a coup is illegal. So that's a two-sided sword here. It is illegal, but it might benefit the country. Which route would we go as security company? I don't know. I guess we have to stick with the government.
But would you not protect your clients?
We would protect, of course. Number one is always our clients. Yeah, number one is always our clients.
That's the point I'm getting to. So, 100. So irrespective of which way the wind blows, your primary aim is to secure your area and keep everyone happy.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah.
So obviously we will try to stay out of everything. Personally, I am the head of the company. I would say we stay out of everything and we protect our clients. That's number one. Which side we would take, I have no idea. I have honestly no idea, Dev, because it depends on a lot of factors, you know. It really does, you know, when, why, what, you know.
I just want to ask you, because, you know, hypothetically again, one looks at the state of the current our defense force at the moment, and, you know, having been in the defense force, as I think every able-bodied South African male, certainly of my generation, was, and comparing that to what we have at the moment, it would appear that we really don't have much to worry about in terms of a defense force coup, because I think it's fair to say, with the exception of certain special forces, it's a bit of a sham, really and truly. However, there are many very good operators that have moved into the private sector. So it's interesting. I think most of our potential, shall we call it, security structure is now in private hands and private companies.
That is 100% correct. I think I could say that, if I take a wild guess, what's 80% of experienced ex-personnel is definitely in the private sector.
And that leads me to my next question. Your recruiting requirements for operational staff, do you only look for those with experience and at a level of competence?
No, you have to have a level of experience, obviously, before you start in security.
Oh.
Okay, and there are two layers of levels. So you have your average guard, let's call it guard now. We actually have three levels. You have your guard, you have your armed reaction officer. That's a completely different level again, and then you have management and top management. And top management must be able to control. I mean, I've got about 450 staff members. You know, they need to control 450 staff members. They need to delegate. They need to think quick in situations, you know, which can occur in riots, etc., in ambushes, which we experience. So the the average person who works as a security officer, as a security guard, most people call it security guard, on estates. So they come in and they went through a course already. They went through a course of radio alphabet. They did basic training. And then when they apply for a job with us, then what we do is we go through, like, we check the training records because they can also be bought nowadays very easily. Sorry. We ask them to repeat the radio alphabet, you know, Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, Echo, et cetera, Foxtrot. And if they can't do that, then we know the certificate has been bought. And we will not engage with them. We will not employ them. If they passed our test, we sort of give them basic training. I used to do parades, full parades, army parades. I can't do that anymore because it takes too much time away. Members have complained that, and I do understand, you know, I used to do it for an hour, that it takes too much time because some of them travel 1 to 2 hours to work. You know, it's a problem with transport. So I do understand. So we made a deal with the bargaining council that we take it from 1 hour to half an hour. So we still have them on parade half an hour every day before.
So there's still discipline, still uniform checks.
Uniform checks on parade, yeah. I personally go like twice a month, randomly check the big parades. And, you know, I see things where I say, out, you're not passing the parade. You know, but that's,
because that's terribly important as well. The image is well, it goes without saying. Any person representing any organization that looks good automatically is an ambassador for the company.
100%. But also what you must understand, Davis, that I always say, if you can't make your own bet, how do you think you can manage my staff? If you can't look after yourself, how can you look after other people? How can you look after my staff? It's not possible. But anyhow, going back to that, so they go through another phase of training, basic training, simple parade, simple stand to attention, etc., saluting, because I say I am from a special forces background, so saluting for me is a big thing. I don't like.
Were you special waving. Forces in South Africa or abroad? Not allowed to say.
Not allowed to say, but I'd rather not go into detail there and stir more trouble there.
But you certainly have
a background that qualifies you to do the job. Just don't want to talk about it in detail. And the next step is we deploy them on site and obviously show them how, you know, what they have to do on site. Then you have your second level, which is your armed reaction officer. That is a completely different level because they handle firearms. So they have to have the same courses plus a firearm competency plus a firearm course. These guys we take for a training shoot first, and it is frightening what you see, to be quite honest. If you can't hit a target on 3 or 5 meters, if you can't even hit the target, never mind your grouping is out, that is absolutely shocking. And I admit it, we had it. And if it's me, it's obviously everyone else as well. You know, we take you from the same pool, you must remember. So then they go through a training of just firearm training itself. We had one member, I remember this year, we just couldn't work with. He couldn't hit the target. So I can't employ him as a reaction officer because what I do is I not endanger his own life, I endanger the life of my clients if there is a serious incident. We couldn't employ him. That happened this year. So then we again extra training. Then we do a polygraph test with them. Very, very important. So now mid-level, it becomes polygraph test 100%. You're not going to work for me without passing the polygraph test. And at the end, it cost me a lot of money to do that.
How accurate is a polygraph? Can it be overcome?
No, it cannot be manipulated, unless you have happened to me also once. I think HD, what's it called? HDSA. Claire, help me out here. What is it called? Hyper thingy syndrome. What is it called again? HDSA. Oh, you're also not sure. Okay, you cannot overcome it in a normal way. So if you have a certain like sickness, then and you believe that your own lies are true, then you can you can pass a polygraph test. So if you have that, yeah.
I heard that there was a way, and this is just is it nonsense?
Putting rocks underneath socks? Yeah. No. That's absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. A polygraph test is 99.9. A polygraph test, Dave, will tell you you pass, you did not pass, or it's inconclusive. All right. So inconclusive means that you did not respond either way enough on the questions asked, or on the question asked. It's normally one question you sort of comes out inconclusive, which puts you in the middle, and that question can't be used against you or for you, you know, in favor of you. It cannot.
But on the law of averages, a polygraph.
99.9%. Yeah. And then obviously now you go to top management level, same then entry level, same then medium level, but then much harsher conditions, especially on now on weapon training. So these guys not only have training in sidearms, they have training in assault rifles, shotguns. We go shooting every week, and trust me, it cost me arm and a leg, it really does, but we go shooting every week with certain members. I go shooting every second week, third week. Also, I'm a section 60 shooter, so I'm a dedicated shooter, so I have to go. And then we have the section 21, which is compulsory, which says it's compulsory for every security company to have all officers who carry firearms. They need to pass a shooting test with an independent training school, accredited school, accredited trainer once a year.
So you've got to be up to be brought up to standard every year.
Yeah, you have to be up to
standard. And as age passes, along the line, you might lose your edge and so on.
Yeah,
and
you do. You do. But
then you get moved into admin.
Then I would have moved me to admin. But now your grouping gets a bit out for about a few millimeters. Not too bad, but yeah, it does.
But the point is, you run a very, very tight ship because you have to. Bottom line is, you're dealing with people and people's lives in many instances, and you just can't take chances. So it's responsible to make sure that everyone working in the security industry, but particularly, of course, in your company, IPSS Security, there are no shortcuts. Everyone has properly vetted, properly trained. And dependability, I think, is very important.
Yeah.
Clearly, when it comes to selecting a security company to look after you, your family, your business, you want to know that you're dealing with the professionals. It may be the case that in the greater Ballito area, you are covered by IPSS or any of the professional security companies that form the private security industry in this region. And private security companies now do a remarkably good job of visible policing, keeping the area safe and secure. And right at the top of the pile, there it is, IPSS. You have the most vehicles, I think, in the area in terms of security coverage.
By far.
We have the most cameras.
We have the most. We now are looking at, 700 cameras right now as we speak. That includes, obviously, a larger estate, so now go for cameras. That's the way to go anyhow. Your patrolling guard will fall away. Your patrolling officer will fall away. And it will be purely monitored by cameras.
And rapid reaction to a situation.
Of course, linked to rapid reaction. Yeah.
Proactive rather than reactive.
Yes.
You see something happening, you get there before it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
I think that's the secret to the low crime rate in our area. Long may that last. And congratulations to you and the private security sector for maintaining, along with the South African Police Service, a very, very relative to the rest of the country, good record of safety and security. And long may that last, as I say. And also good to know that we started our conversation with a bit of a dark subject in terms of the potential for an insurrection in our beloved country. But good to know that our private security operators, providers, are ready, willing, and able to look after you should the chips come crashing to the ground. We hope that's the case, but we hope it never happens and we don't have to test it. But there it is. Thank you again for making the time on the morning show to come in and chat. And we look forward to the next one. Let's see if we ruffled any feathers today. I look forward to the WhatsApps coming through shortly.
Yeah, do so. I'm not on the group, so please let me know, Dave. Please let me know.
I will indeed. That's Frank Labidi from IPSS Electronic Security, and the morning show continues.